Welcome to the Expert Network Team Podcast,
where our goal is to inform and educate our listeners on matters related to finance, legal, insurance, accounting, and other interests that are of personal and business nature.
We hope you will find our content useful as well as entertaining.
The Expert Network Team consists of Carl Frank of ANI Financial, Mike Miller of Miller and Associates CPAs, Jeff Cromendike of Security First Insurance Agency, and I'm Nathan Merrill. I'm an attorney at Goodspeed and Merrill.
Together, our independent team combines our expertise to provide you insights and solutions, some straightforward, some profound, for real-life opportunities we see on a daily basis. We hope you enjoy the information contained in today's podcast and find it useful. If you'd like to learn more or desire to meet with any of the Expert Network team members in person, you can contact us at info@expertnetworkteam.com. That's info@expertnetworkteam.com.
We encourage you to take advantage of a free consultation with any of our team members. Just mention this podcast when you schedule your appointment.
Now on to today's podcast.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to your Expert Team podcast. We have a full house here today. This is Jeff Cromendike coming to you from Security First Insurance Agency. We have Nathan Merrill with Goodspeed and Merrill. Hello, Nate. Good to have you. And Carl Frank with ANI Financial. Carl, thanks for hosting us today. It's
You're
great to
welcome.
See you. And out from the middle of who knows where, Mike's been traveling. We've not seen him much, but we are so glad you're here, Mike, with having you here to talk a little bit more about what a strong balance sheet looks, what it should look like. But Mike, welcome. We're just glad you're here, and take us away a little bit. Tell us what you're going to talk about.
Aloha and buenos dias.
Yes.
I was gonna say, you're sporting a nice tan there. Is that what you brought back from Hawaii?
That's what I brought back. So to kick it off, during this COVID pandemic, I was during tax season. I walked out of my office to go get some lunch, and one of the business owners across the hall happened to be walking out, and he's a dentist. And he said, I was talking to him, and I said, so, hey, how you doing with this? Because the dentist's office were closed. He was in just doing some cleanup in his office. And he said, no, I did okay. You know, we're fine. And I said, well, did you get a PPP loan? And he goes, no, I didn't need one. My balance sheet's pretty strong. We're okay. And I was like, oh, really? I said, what does that mean? What does a strong balance sheet mean? He goes, well, I just had a whole bunch of cash set aside. I set aside a bunch of cash because I knew a rainy day would be happening sometime, and I didn't want to have to lay off people. And I said, great.
So it's an awfully responsible thing to do.
Yes. He had actually, I think he said he had like 8 months reserves in cash set aside, just in case, which is the smart thing to do, to your point, but not everybody does that. So we went on to have a conversation about there's more to a strong balance sheet than that because cash can't control the balance sheet. So I gave him the analysis, and I do this a lot with my clients, is when you look at your personal finances, right, if you look at your balances on the personal finance, how does money come in? Well, money comes in, wages, right? Or you've got self-employment income or something. Then you have bills that you have to pay, right? You have your mortgage, you have utilities, you have a car payment, insurance, clothing, meals out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you come up with a number. And at the end of the month or end of the pay period, whatever you measure it on, you either have more money or not less money, right? You have a positive or a negative number when that's said and done. If it's a positive number, great, you've got extra cash. What are you going to do with it? If you don't have enough money, where's it going to come from? You got to take it out of savings. You got to get a loan. You got to use credit cards, right? Somehow you have to fund that shortage, or maybe take it out of retirement funds. So then you start looking at the balance sheet and going, well, where am I going to take it from? Now you're looking at it on the balance sheet. Balance sheet's basically assets, liabilities, and equity, right? Assets minus liabilities equals equity. So you look at that from a net worth perspective, and you say, I've got cash in the bank. I got some stocks and investments. I've got a home that's worth so much. I've got maybe a car that's worth so much. Those are your total assets. And then you look at the liability side and you go, I've got a mortgage, I've got credit card payments, I may have a line of credit on the house, may have a loan on the car. And then assets minus those liabilities is you have a positive or a negative net worth.
Mm-hmm.
If your assets exceed your liabilities, you got a positive net worth. If they don't, you have a negative net worth. What position do you want to be in? Well, every month, every year.
Is that a trick question?
No, it should be a very easy question.
Okay.
But I don't think everyone looks at this when they talk about, you know, personal finances and budgeting. Sure. People don't really think about this. What I find in my line of work is businesses don't think about it either. So when I was talking to this guy about this, I used that example. He goes, wow, that's really a good example. Can we talk some more about that balance sheet? And I was a little sympathetic. I didn't charge him for any of this, but because they're not open and they were closed. But I said, sure. I said, from a strong balance sheet perspective, I kind of made notes of what we talked about when we did it. And I said, well, there's really four elements to a strong balance sheet. There's intelligent working capital, there's income generating assets, there's a positive cash flow, and there's a balanced capital structure. And you want to have income generating assets. So if you look at intelligent working capital, there's a ratio on the balance sheet that is basically your current assets divided by your current liabilities. What does that mean? That basically means what's your ability to meet your current obligations, right? Do you have enough cash flow to meet your current expenses, right? That's what that ratio means. You usually want that ratio to be a 1.2 to 2.0 range. It's a strong ratio.
So just stopping there. So what are we talking about in terms of the assets we're measuring against current liabilities?
Current assets. So your current assets are your income generating assets.
So that'd be like AR and...
Right. What do you have in AR?
Okay.
Right? What cash do you have in the bank? Is cash always coming in, or are you always depleting cash?
Got it.
Right. So you look at your current assets. Could be inventory if you're a manufacturer or a buyer and reseller of goods.
Right.
How much cash do you have tied up in inventory? What's your turns on your inventory? So you're looking at your current asset balance and saying all those items added up in total divided by your total current debt, what's due in the next 12 months. Do you have enough cash flow coming off of that? Are your assets generating enough income to cover that?
Why are they called intelligent assets, if I might ask?
It's intelligent working capital.
Oh, okay.
Not assets, but working capital. Because that's your working capital. Your current assets generate income.
I've just never heard that phrase before. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what current assets are.
Got it.
Working capital. So you don't want to tie up too much in one asset, right? You don't want to have all your money in cash. You don't want to have it all in stocks. You certainly don't want to have it all tied up in inventory if you're not turning inventory quickly. And you want to be looking at your accounts receivable and collecting those as quick as possible and not having to push those out 30, 60, 90 days, right? That kind of gives you a strong current asset base, right? If you have too much cash on hand and you're not using it right, you're missing opportunities either to invest the money or pay off debt. So you constantly want to be evaluating your current assets. It's a balancing act. So when you look at income generating assets, you're looking at what are performing and non-performing assets. And so you want to get rid of the non-performing. In my line of work, what are my assets? What's my people? So I generate a lot of cash, right? Because we're service-based.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at clients who aren't paying, we're going to address that. They're non-performing assets. My clients are my non-performing assets. So we're always looking at cash flow from an accounts receivable perspective, right? If you have assets in the financial world, right, if they're non-performing, what do?
You got to fire them.
Okay, you get rid of them, right? Same thing when you have inventory. If you have inventories that are slow laggards and they're not selling, get rid of them. Replace them with something that's going to sell and turn quicker. You want to improve that cash flow, increase that current asset position. positive cash flow, I mean, that's the key indicator for a strong balance sheet because cash is king. But you just got to watch it. You don't want to, you know, have too much cash and not be utilizing it properly. In order to have a good, strong cash flow, you need to manage it, which is, you know, you want to forecast it. You want to plan for it. You want to have it projected out so you know how much is coming in and when it's coming in. Business is doing well when it regularly maintains a minimum cash reserve, which is what this dentist had done. I think he had a little too much in cash. 8 months, I think, would have been a little excessive. And then the pandemic hit, and I was just like, we wouldn't have known what was reasonable and what wasn't based on the situation. Fortunately, they were only closed for, what, two and a half months?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have to lay anybody off. He was able to pay everybody. He didn't need to get a PPP loan. You know, he was doing good.
So if I can stop you there for just a little discussion on that. In a non-pandemic environment, how would one normally come up with what their best reserves might be? If you were looking at from a balance sheet perspective, or maybe you'll get to this, but what kind of rule of thumb or...
Your financial advisors usually say 6 months of expenses, right? So that's you usually want that reserve set aside for the rainy day. Depends on your business, and maybe it's 3 months because of
right
what your structure is. Could be 9 months or 12 months.
Well, similar to you, you know, we're a service business. If we're not using people, we're not going to keep them around necessarily just to sit and twiddle their thumbs. So unlike inventory, if we end up in a significant downturn, we can cut our expenses dramatically. So we wouldn't necessarily need to maintain 6 months operating expenses unless we wanted to keep a stale workforce through that extended period of time, right?
Right. Yeah, and coming up here shortly.
So it's like fixed versus variable type stuff.
Yes.
You take into account.
Somewhat, yes.
Okay.
It's expense management, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
So the next item for a strong balance sheet is really your balance, a balanced capital structure, right? Are you debt or equity funded, right? Debt is good. You know, when the business is doing good and the interest rates are low, you can write off some interest. You can use the debt to create current assets that generate income by buying assets or whatever needs to be done. If you're highly, and then you're kind of a highly leveraged company, and it's good when times are good. It's not good when times are bad. When you're heavily equity financed, that can be good or bad as well, depending on your situation, what kind of business you're running, right? Because your investors are going to want some sort of return on investment on their investment, right? So in the debt equity rule, like the current asset ratio, you have a debt to equity ratio, right? So debt to equity ratio, you never want that debt to equity ratio to be more than 2. So you kind of watch that when you look at your balance sheet. So when I run my balance sheet and my financials, I have these key performance indicators. One's the current ratio, one's the debt to equity ratio, and I want to monitor those. And by doing that, I'm managing the strength of my balance sheet. It's one of the key indicators I use. Income generating assets, to your point, they're either people or they're fixed assets. I mean, if you're a manufacturing business, mm-hmm. your key producing assets not only can be your people, but it's the equipment that produce what you're selling. Right, because if those go down, you don't have any inventory. You're kind of screwed. Right. In today's environment, we're really working off a just-in-time type thing. So you're producing and pushing it out the door. It's not like you're trying to store a whole bunch of stuff on the side to sell. You've hopefully got pre-orders. You're manufacturing them and setting, you know, getting them out. Keep that cash flow strong. If you're manufacturing product and setting aside, hoping you sell it, there's probably a significant problem in your financial statements. So, absent of proper balance sheet management, you can go from a strong balance sheet to a fragile balance sheet pretty quick, right? If your debt's higher than your assets, you're in that negative quote unquote net worth position or negative equity position, which means your survivability, depending on the economy, is weak. Might not make it. That's where a lot of businesses close up.
Mm-hmm.
Close up shop.
So, Mike, as we think about a strong balance sheet, what are lending institutions looking at specifically as it relates to, a balance sheet, income statement, things like that? What are they looking for as it relates to the strength behind a
balance? They're looking at those two ratios that I just defined. They look almost exclusively at the current ratio, the current assets divided by current liabilities, and the debt to equity ratio.
Okay.
If those are strong, you're probably going to get a loan. Pretty okay. easily. Yeah.
All right.
Those are two of their key indicators. Yep, that they look at. So if your balance sheet isn't quite so strong, maybe it's starting to cross over into that fragile piece, you may want to identify the causes, as we just kind of talked through some of those, as to what could be leading to that effect on your balance sheet. You know, obviously take actions to improve the processes and the decision-making and then enforce accountability within your company to say, hey, this is what we're doing, why we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, to strengthen that balance sheet. And it is, to your point, Nate, if you're people intensive, well, what do you have? You have income coming in from people, you have wages, and you have expenses. What can you manage and control? Those expenses.
Right. But just to give you an example of one of the issues we were facing, and I've seen this with other professional services organizations, even large ones, is they start to feel the pinch on production, and so they start to cut their workforce as their primary cost, but in the process they actually cut their ability to make additional revenue. So it's like a vicious downward cycle, or can be at some level. So one of the things we, like in the pandemic, one of the efforts or initiatives we really looked towards was keeping the team intact so that we maintained our productive capacity, and then we just focused on filling up everybody's plate. So because if we cut back our productive ability, our fixed costs still stayed the same.
Exactly.
And so in order to keep our ratios, you know, we looked at first maintaining, and then about July, we actually looked at starting to expand operations.
But what if you can't expand operations? What if you can't fill everyone's plate? Those tough decisions have to be made to say, in order to strengthen my balance sheet, I gotta cut some costs.
Right.
And unfortunately, that means you got to downsize, you got to get rid of some people, and maybe get rid of some of those costs that are fixed that you don't need and you can get out
of. But the knee-jerk of what we avoided doing was, without knowing, because you know nobody knew how this was going to impact the economy, we deferred immediate action, which is what was happening, you know, which is why PP was originally passed, was to keep workforce intact, basically. I mean, you could argue that that was the fundamental goal of government, was to prevent all the layoffs from occurring, to keep workforces intact. And so I think all of us really ponied up at the opportunity to do that. And then it was just a question of making that workforce productive.
Yeah. So what you just told me was you had a strong balance sheet. You were able to weather that storm, right, by not laying people off. And you have to do that because you have...
But some of that is choice. I guess that's the point I'm making, is you can put yourself in a tight spot by making a bad choice to weaken your balance sheet out of fear that you have a weak balance sheet. I mean, it's like, that's why I say it's kind of a vicious cycle. Is if I start trimming workforce, then I completely cut back my ability to produce income, which makes my balance sheet less viable and strong. So people have to resist that urge, I think, to recoil.
They have to understand their financial statements,
yeah,
right? Because if they're weak, if they're fragile, and they come into that situation that you just described, you can't just keep people on the payroll.
Sure.
You don't have any cash.
Unless the government gives you money.
Unless the government gives you a PPP, right? But let's say in the absence of the government funding your operations, if you can't get access to short-term lending or equity infusion, you're cutting costs somewhere. You have
absolutely
to, right. So when I was in corporate America, we had two things. One, it was you go through the headcount reduction, right? If business goes down, you lose a key client. I mean, your biggest expense is labor most of the time. And then we went into what we call scorched earth policy. So nobody could spend a dollar without the CFO or the CEO approving it. And literally it was like, I need to buy some pens. They got to approve it. And I literally worked for US West when we had this going on, and we literally took an inventory of everyone's desk of what office supplies we had and put them in one room and said, if you need anything, this is where it is. We can't buy anything.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know,
that's harsh.
Yeah,
expense controls.
Right.
Very harsh.
That's getting up there. Mike, what would you say let's say that dentist didn't have a strong balance sheet today. I mean, he came out of this, and we'll just make up a situation, because there may be some companies out there who are in that position. And they look back at last year, and maybe because he had to shut down his business for so long, he needs to he could qualify for PPP round two, like Nate and I were talking about on a previous podcast. About the legislation that came out at the end of 2020. Well, you can go back and get PPP round two if you have a quarter of revenue that went lower than what it was the year prior to that. So if he qualified for that, would you recommend that he goes out and gets more PPP loan? I mean, why not?
Here's my two cents on that. If his business is strong now, I would say no. Why do I say that? Yes, he qualifies, right? Because the two main criteria, one are you're in business as of February 15, 2020. The next one is you had a decrease in revenue of 25% in 2020 compared to the prior quarter in 2019.
Well, and I'll add the sleeper in there, which is you need it. Like you
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
When you attest on the form, because I've seen it for some of my clients, I think it's you go through the questions and you're initialing these things, and one of them says, you need this money because of it's a necessity question.
Right.
You need this money to stay alive, which tells me there's a going concern question. That right there, the attorneys I've talked to that deal with the SBA, they're going, these loans are going to be audited way more heavily than the first ones because they weren't as defined. That clause means you needed the money to keep your doors open.
So you basically almost have to have an insolvent balance sheet. Or you need to be approaching that or headed that direction.
You have to be able to prove that you needed that money. And how do you prove that? Forecasting what your revenues appear to be over the next year. So in that case, if the dentist came to me and said that, I would say, what does your cash flow look like? What does your business look like? Oh, I'm back to normal. You don't need it.
It's a different situation,
isn't it? Yeah,
it's
a whole different
this
situation.
Gets back to the fine-tuning we talked about.
You know,
as we looked at how they've learned from the
PPP
past experience
round one, yeah.
Or just the element of time has given them the ability to be a little bit more surgical in how they
Now, if you're a restaurant business,
seems like you could make a strong case.
Yeah, that's pretty much a no-brainer.
Restaurants. Yeah. And they're 100% deductible this year, so.
Yes. Go eat out with your friends.
Go spend money. Just make sure there's business purpose.
Yes.
We can do that.
Absolutely.
Mike, any parting thoughts?
Just, you know, when you're dealing with a strong balance sheet, just keep a forward focus, right? What's happening in the future? What could impact your business? What are your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, as you like to preach, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. SWOT analysis, man. I'm telling you. It's good. Thanks, Mike. That was great.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Aloha and buenos dias.
Thank you for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed the information we shared.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to share it with someone else. And join us next time.
If you want to meet with a member of the team, please contact us at info@expertnetworkteam.com. That's info@expertnetworkteam.com.
If you have special topics you'd like to hear about, please reach out to us and let us know at the same email address. Again, that's info@expertnetworkteam.com. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We want to remind you that listening to this podcast does not establish a client-professional relationship with any of the firms represented, nor does it constitute legal, investment, or accounting advice, and the views are those of the professionals only.
Investment advisory services may be provided through ANI Financial Services, and securities may be provided through Genios Wealth Management.